When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, the disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." And Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This is, in the Gospel of John, the second appearance of the risen Christ. He's appeared to Mary Magdalene, who wept, thinking that thinking him to be the gardener and that his body has been stolen away. Jesus sends Mary to tell the other disciples that he is alive and about to ascend. Later on that first Easter day, the disciples are huddled behind closed doors, fearful, despairing, separated from Christ, and Jesus appears to them, offering his peace and sending them to share his peace with the world. He breathes the Holy Spirit into them, just as God had breathed life into the first humans. The disciples are given new life, and through the Holy Spirit, Christ lives in them. They are his presence in the world. Christ will be known to them, and Christ's peace will come to the world through them. What would you have given to have been in the room when it happened? To have been there when Jesus appeared to the disciples? Don't you think that if you were one of those disciples, you would immediately be out there pounding the pavement, looking for people to tell, chomping at the bit to report to everyone you've ever known that Jesus Christ is alive? Yet it seems 8 days later, the disciples are still held up in that room. Thomas joins them and they tell what they have seen. "Christ is risen," and Thomas replies, "Unless I see the nails in his hands," and so on, "I will not believe." I think history is pretty hard on Thomas. I saw a cartoon once that has Thomas talking to the disciples, and he says, "Come on, you guys, they don't call Peter the denier." Thomas, doubting Thomas. In fact, doubt seems to be actually a little out of character for Thomas, who followed as one of Jesus' original disciples for 3 years. He followed Jesus. And when Jesus spoke of his impending death, Thomas implores the other disciples, "Let us also go that we may die with him." He is no lightweight spiritual lightweight or lukewarm follower. I wonder, was he the only disciple with the courage to continue Jesus' ministry after his death? Is that why he wasn't in the room with the disciples? Thomas is the one who asked Jesus, "Lord, we don't know where you are going. How can we know the way?" We don't know why he was not with the disciples, but maybe he was still trying to find the way. So I was going to go in a lighter direction this morning. It's always dangerous to change your sermon Saturday evening. It was a wonderful Easter celebration last week, but we went in pretty deep for Lent, and I thought, oh, it'd be nice to have a Sunday that was a little lighter. I wanted to honor you committed folk who show up the Sunday after Easter. My plan was just to have a little fun. But after yesterday's news of another shooting, this time in a synagogue, I am grateful to have such committed people to be with this morning. This is the latest in a string of attacks on houses of worship, Jewish, Sikh, Muslim, Christian. We're still reeling from the attacks last week, the bombings in Sri Lanka. It doesn't seem enough to just pray for Christ's peace this morning. We have witnessed the risen Christ. We are those who have seen and heard and felt him alive. We are the commissioned disciples to bring God and God's peace to the world. But where do we start? Jesus' disciples are given an extraordinary power and responsibility, and so are we. Jesus tells us, yes, all of us who claim to be his followers, all of us who have been baptized into his name, all of us who have received from him the Holy Spirit, if you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. Forgiveness was accomplished for us on the cross, and we are commanded to share that. If we, the Church of Jesus Christ, retain the sins of others, we make a mockery of Christ's sacrifice. If the Church of Jesus Christ does not forgive sins, who will? And if sins are not forgiven, how will we ever know the peace of Christ? Salvation comes through the forgiveness of sin. If those of us who have a personal relationship with Jesus, those of us who have seen and heard and touched and inhaled the risen Christ stay hunkered down in our churches, who will carry the message of salvation to the world? If our voices are silenced by fears and doubts, those who are seeking peace will be relegated to sitting alone, listening to whomever on the TV or the radio, taking truth from whomever, politicians, movie producers, internet trolls, whoever chooses to make people apostles. We will live driven by fear and hatred and vengeance because that's who we are without divine grace. The perpetrators of this violence are disturbed and seem possessed by the spirit of hatred. Some seem to have no genuine claim as victims. Others have lived with the effects of decades, if not centuries, of legitimate wrongs committed upon their people. Either way, to to paraphrase Gandhi, an eye for an eye just makes the whole world blind. We wonder what we are to do, and yet Christ spells it out in a short statement. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. Nothing complicated, even if not simple for our human hearts to accomplish. We are commissioned with the power to forgive or retain sins. We are sent with Jesus teaching us to pray, "Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us." We are sent remembering, not 7 times, but I tell you 77 times, and do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. We are sent with Jesus as our example. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. There is no place to store sins on this path to peace. None of this is easy, but neither is living in a world that hate rules. I am not asking, and I would not ask, forgiveness from the victims of these atrocities. That seems too much to ask. I don't ask that perpetrators be allowed to injure again. I ask God's forgiveness for a world so broken, and for myself, for I have contributed wittingly and unwittingly to its brokenness. If I am forgiven, I am to live in that spirit of forgiveness. As the Gospel of John closes, he circles back to the beginning and helps us to make sense of Jesus' ministry, of his resurrection, of what it means that he is the risen Messiah. Remember the beautiful opening statements of his first chapter. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness will not overcome it, did not overcome it. Jesus is the author of life, and his light shows us the way to salvation, the way to peace. Even death on a cross cannot smother that light. Again from John 1, "And the Word became flesh and lived among us. We have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. From his fullness we have received grace upon grace." Jesus shows us who God is, and God is grace. Grace upon grace. Undeserved gift after undeserved gift given to us. Seeing Jesus, John the Baptist proclaims, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." That is John's introduction and summary of the good news of the gospel. And now, in chapter 20, having walked with Jesus, having seen his sacrifice, having witnessed that he lives again, we understand grace. We understand undeserved mercy, and we are sent to share this. This is not a piece of the gospel. This is the gospel. God is willing to forgive and be in relationship with us in gratitude and grace in order to live in Christ's name. We forgive and live in relationship to one another. Sure, there's a lot of details to work out. How do we do this? who will be in charge? Where will the money come from? What will it be spent on? Who is going to lock up the church when John is out of town? But it is all about grace. Grace is a way of life in all aspects of our life, in our churches, in our homes, in our communities, in the way we spend our money, in the way we vote, in the way we make decisions every day of our lives, in the way our spirits react to events, in the way we talk to each other. Doesn't that sum up the Christian life to which we aspire? To witness in word and deed to the grace of Jesus Christ. After all, as the Father sent him, so he sends us. We proclaim a different kingdom, a kingdom of life in the name of Jesus, a kingdom where God's glory shines and where grace is a way of life. Christ is risen, and even now, offering his peace, may we accept it and may we share it in all that we say and do. Amen.